Hey, everybody, Pastor Chuck Allen again with another weekday podcast. Yesterday, I walked through a little bit of Nehemiah chapter 1, and today I want to talk about the God who sends you from Nehemiah 2. When we left Nehemiah in chapter 1, he was weeping over broken walls, fasting, praying, and confessing. But in chapter 2, that's when the praying turns into moving. That's when quiet tears become bold steps. The chapter opens in the month of Nisan. It's 4 months after the news about Jerusalem broke Nehemiah's heart that the walls had been destroyed and the gates had been burned. 4 months of prayer, 4 months of waiting. He's back at work serving as cupbearer for the king. And on this day, the king notices something different. In verse 2, the Bible says, "I had never before appeared sad in his presence." So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." And then this little line, it says, "Then I was terrified." You know that feeling, right? That moment you might have to speak up for something that matters, or your heart pounds so loud it feels like everybody can hear it, and your mouth gets dry, and you're just welling up in anxiety. Nehemiah admits his fear, but he doesn't stop. He says, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." He names the ache, the thing that keeps him up at night. And then the king asks the question every dream waits to hear. "Well, how can I help you?" That's the turning point. Nehemiah says, "With the prayer to the God of heaven." And before he responds, I want you to catch that. He doesn't just blurt it out. In the very moment the door opens, Nehemiah breathes a prayer. It's not a long one, probably just something like, "God, I need a little help here." Because sometimes the shortest prayer is the one that changes everything. Then he goes for it. He asks for time off from the king's service. He asks for letters guaranteeing safe travel. And he asks for lumber from the royal forest to rebuild the gates and the wall. It's bold. It's almost audacious. It seems almost impossible. And here's the miracle. The king says yes to all of it. "The king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me." That's what Nehemiah says in verse 8. The phrase, "the gracious hand of God," it's everything. This isn't Nehemiah's charm. It's not his cleverness. It's God moving through the heart of a king who doesn't even worship the same God. When Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, he doesn't start immediately rebuilding, though. For 3 days, he says nothing to anybody. Then, under the cover of night, he surveys the damage for himself. He doesn't make speeches yet. He doesn't call meetings. He walks among the ruins, and he takes it all in. Because before you can rebuild, you have to see clearly what's broken. Finally, he gathers the leaders and says, "You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Hear that? Let us. Nehemiah doesn't say, "Hey, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to Rambo this bad boy." Rebuilding is always a community effort. It is always a together project. And when opposition comes, because it always comes, Nehemiah doesn't panic. He says to those who mocked him in verse 20, "The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding." Now, dude, that's confidence. Not in himself, but in God's help. So what does this mean for us? It means that the ache in your chest from chapter 1 might be God's invitation to step forward into chapter 2. It means that a short prayer whispered in the decisive moment might open impossible doors for you, your family, and those around you. It means that what God calls you to, he will provide for, even if the resources come from the most unlikely places. Maybe we should be praying, "God, give us the courage to move from prayer into action. Teach us to pray in the moment, to ask boldly, to walk quietly through the ruins and to lead with hope. And remind us that your gracious hand is still upon us today." I thank you so much for listening to today's weekday podcast. And my encouragement would be to me and to you, let's go live today in such a way that when people look at our life, they see the God of all heaven helping us succeed. God bless you, friend. Thanks so much for joining me on today's weekday podcast.